Welcome to Paw Print Academy, your blueprint to raising better dogs. My name's Ryan, and I'll be your host for this journey. I've got my trusty co-host here, Brianna.
Hello.
And together, we're bringing you real-world training insights built on leadership, structure, and proven methods. We record this podcast with live clients on the line in one take with live, unscripted questions and answers. At the end of the day, this podcast is a lot more than just teaching your dog to sit or stay. It's about building trust, creating calmness, and becoming the kind of leader your dog truly needs. We do that with our three-pillar method of trust, obey, and perform. Together, we'll show you how these three pillars shape every step of training. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Good evening, episode 8, Potty Training Made Simple, Structure Over Frustration. Good evening, everybody. This is, there you go, you're back on.
Yeah, hello, hello. Right, blocking me from saying hi.
Right, we're back. It's been a long 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Had a couple of technical difficulties, and we have overcome, and we're moving on.
Yep, moving on.
So today we are talking about potty training, and I recognize that this isn't going to apply to every one of our clients because a lot of our clients are past that stage. Yeah. However, it's highly likely that dog owners love dogs, and you're probably going to get another dog someday.
Someday.
Yep. Go ahead and shake your head. Shake your head. No, it's never going to happen, but we see it over and over, and it keeps happening. It even happens to us.
Right.
But no more anymore. Dogs. No more dogs.
No more.
Right. And then we get a plus one. So it's natural to have more dogs. And this is a recurring issue. Something that happens. It's just a natural part of owning a dog. And so we're going to talk about it tonight. What is, right. Every trainer has a method. I don't think this is a top dog trainer method, but this is we're going to talk about kind of best practices, mm-hmm. and we're going to relate it back to leadership because that's really the core principles of this podcast and our entire company. But Paw Print Academy is based on the premise of increasing leadership in the home that then translates to better communication, then translates to better consistency, and eventually a clearer picture for the dog.
Yep.
So the main idea that we're going to talk about is that potty training is not about luck, right? Definitely not luck. And it's also not about punishment. Mm-hmm. And it eventually reverts back to leadership. It's about structure, supervision, and consistency. And when the rules are clear, accidents disappear.
Ooh.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little rhyme you put together there.
Thank you.
Love that.
So we're gonna talk about clear, definitive rules. And remember that dogs are pattern-based. So we've got to create patterns that the dog can recognize and then can kind of live, and they know they're like left and right limits. And that relieves a ton of anxiety.
Yep.
All right, first up, structure is the foundation. So accidents happen when dogs do not know the rules or they don't have enough supervision. We talk about this probably every week, but when dogs don't have enough supervision, they mm-hmm. make their own choices.
Yeah.
And crazy enough that when dogs make their own choices, oftentimes it's not the decision that you would want.
Yeah.
They're like,
never, really.
It's pretty convenient to just go to the bathroom over here. That way I don't have to go out in the rain, right? Yep. And today on recording day, it's the 29th of October, and it has been raining solid for like 3 days.
Yeah, terrible.
So ask me how I know that they don't like to go out in the rain. Dogs notoriously don't like to go out in the rain. So if faced with an obstacle, they may just make their own decision and go inside. So what can we do? We can do a couple of things. So I've got a couple of things listed here, right? We can set predictable feeding and potty times. We can limit the freedom until the dog proves that they can be reliable. And we can use crates and leashes to control access in the home. So we're going to talk through those three things. Mm-hmm. As we talk about this, I like to, when I break it down for a client, we talk about this triangle.
Yeah.
And the triangle is the concept of... before we even get to the triangle, you must accept some level of confinement for your dog as being healthy for your dog, right? If you let a 8-week-old puppy run around your house, they will for sure make a mess.
Yeah.
There's no version of this that they're just going to know that they need to go out and they need to go outside in order to do that.
Yeah.
So we got to teach them. We have to teach puppies everything that they learn. Everything that they know, everything that they learn has to be taught. So how do we do that? Number one, we teach them to be okay with going in and relaxing in a crate.
Yep.
The confinement of a crate is not a punishment. The confinement of a crate builds structure in the dog's mind. Mm-hmm. One, it decreases anxiety because you teach a dog that this is a safe place. Yep. So when everything else in the world is going crazy, they know that they are safe and they will not be yelled at or punished or hurt or anything will happen to them in this crate. And by doing that, you create this like foundational security blanket that then you can build off of.
Yep.
And so what we recommend is that we teach a dog to go and relax and spend time in a crate. The other reason that we use a crate specifically for potty training is that if we size the crate appropriately, a dog will naturally not want to soil themselves. Mm-hmm. So if we put a dog in a great big crate, it's very easy for the dog to pee or poop on one side mm-hmm. and then live on the other. And that is the opposite of what we want. So we want to size the crate appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
The size that we're talking about is big enough for the dog to walk in and turn around as well as large enough for the dog to sit up mm-hmm. all the way without their head touching the top.
Yeah.
By doing that, you can have a dog that can sit very relaxed inside a kennel. They can lay down. They can usually lay on their side, right? Because they were able to go in and turn around. So it's appropriate sides for the dog to lay down and not like touch front or back of the kennel. Mm-hmm. And that's as big as we want it.
Yeah.
You don't want it larger than that because the dog will take advantage of that space, right? And they won't learn to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So last thing here that I'll bring up and then I'll pass it over to Brianna. The muscle that controls their bladder is a muscle that we've got to build.
Yeah.
And if they never get forced to build it and we just let the dog out every 30 minutes, it'll take a lot longer for them to build that process. So the crate allows us to control their movement so that they can't just willy-nilly run around the house.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, it helps to give them some structure that, hey, you have to hold it in this area. Otherwise, you're going to lay in your own excrement.
Yeah.
What are some other things that go into this like triangle?
So I know one big thing is like keeping a leash on your puppy inside, right? The puppy should pretty much be with you at all times unless it's like in a crate.
supervision.
And so one thing that a lot of owners get sidetracked on is they'll start moving around the house and just have the puppy following them around until the puppy gets curious and just kind of like wanders out of the room. And then it takes seconds for something to happen. Right.
Yeah.
And typically we're not paying attention because we're doing the dishes or we're folding the laundry or something like that. But if you just get like a simple like clip and put it on your side with the leash attached to it, the puppy still has 6, 10, however long you want to give them for distance. But you know, if you feel some pulling and tension, that the puppy's trying to go somewhere. Typically, if they're trying to go somewhere away from you, it's probably to go to the bathroom or to chew something or to get into something that it shouldn't be.
Right.
And you're going to be much more aware of that if the puppy is like kind of attached to your hip per se. And yes, we want to do, you know, some place time, some crate time and things like that. But if the puppy's just free roaming the house, there's just so many things that they can get into. So that is one of my favorite ones. Another one is like keeping a log. I think a lot of people like don't ever think to do that. But if you have a puppy, it's like a newborn, right? And I know if you're a first time parent, you're tracking bathroom and food and all of the things that like your new baby is getting, right? So it's the same thing with a puppy, right? Mark their food times. Mark the times when they go to the bathroom. And 100% puppies are going to fall into this rhythm where you can usually correlate how long after they eat do they need to go to the bathroom. So keeping a log will really, really help. And sometimes you can pick up on their pattern from that. Crates, leashes, you already went over that. Both super important tools to use to make sure that like you know where and what your puppy is doing at all times. And then I know when we say supervision, people always are like, well, I don't have time to like stare at my dog for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right. It doesn't mean that you have to stare at the dog.
Right. Because if you don't, then you have to have time to clean up after them.
Right.
Right. It's one or the other.
You have to be aware of what they're doing. Right. Because if you're not even aware enough to like interrupt that you see them like sniffing the ground, then the puppy's making the calls. And they're like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go right now. But it comes down to the triangle, right? It's like, have some sort of structure. And it doesn't have to be the exact same times of things every day, but it can be a pattern of, cool, food, great. 5 minutes of like rest in the crate. And then we're off to outside. And then we come back in. We can have a little play session. And then it's back into the crate to relax for a little while. Just some sort of rhythm to the day will make a huge difference.
Nice. So you jumped into the triangle, right? So let's highlight it for everyone mm-hmm. so they understand what we're talking about.
Yep.
When we talk about the triangle, the top of the triangle is the crate time. So let's say that the dog is going to spend 1 hour in the crate. Initially, for puppies, we recommend, or the general recommended guideline is 1 hour per month old that the dog is. Mm-hmm. That's how long, supposedly, a dog can hold it. Now, it's going to depend on the dog. It's going to depend on a lot of factors. But let's just say that that's accurate. Every dog is going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So a 8-week-old puppy is 2 months old, mm-hmm. right? So we can go about 2 hours during the daytime that they can hold it mm-hmm. before they need to go out. Well, they can hold it, but that doesn't mean they will hold it.
Right.
So the top of the triangle is the crate. We put the dog in for 1 hour. Now we take one additional hour and we break up that other hour to the bottom left and bottom right of the triangle. Bottom left of the triangle is going to be going outside.
Yep.
And that might be for 2 minutes, it might be for 5 minutes, it might be for 10 minutes, but we're going to go into the crate for 1 hour. We're going to come out of the crate and go straight outside. And we're going to observe and supervise the dog to go to the bathroom.
Right. That is another thing. If you just let your dog out and you don't know if they went to the bathroom,
not mean that they went.
Do you know that Correct. They went? They could have just eaten rocks the whole time.
Correct.
Hopefully
Ask
not,
us how we
but
know.
Maybe.
Right. 1 hour in the crate, 5 to 10 minutes outside, however long it takes.
Yep.
We need to see the dog go to the bathroom. We need to get them onto a schedule. Mm-hmm. At the end of that, we then come inside, and now statistically, we are at the highest statistical probability that the dog will not go to the bathroom inside. Yep. Because they just went.
Right.
It's not 100%. Right? All dogs are different.
But highly likely
that they won't go inside. So at least we've stacked the cards in our favor. Now we come inside, and for the rest of that 2 hour block, whatever it is, right? Starting at minute one that they went into their crate.
Yep.
For that rest of that 2 hour block, they are on supervised house time.
Yeah.
At the end of that, right, they go back into the kennel. Yep. And they go back into the kennel for that 1 hour. The goal being that they spent about 1 hour in the house. Then you put them back in the kennel and they are forced to hold it for that one additional hour. So you are instilling in them a need to hold it. And with that need comes the muscle control that they need to learn in order to complete that task.
Yep.
At the end of that hour, then they go back outside. Then they've got supervised house time. Then they go back in the crate. Then they go back outside and so on.
Yeah.
Makes sense for the triangle?
Kind of like a prison schedule.
Right. To a certain degree.
Yard time.
Yard time, right? Got to get it in. So it's important, though, that we stay really strict with it. Because with that builds structure that the dog can predict.
Right. We've all been outside like freezing cold at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. But I promise you, the more structured you are with it, the less time consecutively you will have to do it overall. Yeah. It's like the night feedings with babies, right? And like diaper changes and all that. And it's like, oh my gosh. But you just got to get through it. And on the other side, it feels a lot sillier and a lot less painful than it will feel in the exact moment.
Right. And just remember, it's not forever.
It's not forever.
All right. So it can feel like forever.
It can feel like forever.
I got it. I'm with you. But it's not forever.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're going to look back and you're going to miss the puppy stage because it's so fun. The little puppies, they do the craziest stuff and they're so fun. So, and I think that pretty much anybody who has had a dog will look back and be like, yeah, it was pretty fun when they were little puppies. All right. So now you're faced with what happens when they have an accident in like the house time. Okay, so now we just cut off 15 minutes of house time and we put that 15 minutes over on crate time. Mm-hmm. And we increase, we keep the same ratio where the dog's still 8 weeks old. So we keep the 2 hour time block, the whole triangle adds up to 2 hours. And we take 15 minutes away from the house time and we put that into the kennel time.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. At the point where the dog is showing us that they can do it and they're doing it regularly, we add 15 minutes to the entire cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we add maybe 10 minutes to the crate and 5 minutes to the house time, something like that. And so we just use those rules to modulate and add additional time. For every 3, 4, 5 days that they continue to hold it without an accident and they continue to build their endurance, we just add an extra 15 minutes to the entire triangle block. Mm-hmm. At the point where they have an accident, because every dog is going to have an accident. That's totally normal.
Yeah.
We just take away the 15 minutes. Right. And if we can't trust them in the house, then we reduce that time and we put that time in the crate. If they have an accident in the crate, well, okay, then we reduce that time and we let them out that 15 minutes a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We just be heads up. Kind of, yeah, I mean, at there's no perfect rule here. You kind of just got to be an athlete about it. So figure out what works for your dog. If you have questions about that or something wasn't clear, reach out. You guys can leave a comment. You can reach out. Most of the clients and things that are listening to this, you guys can text me directly, or you can email us at Ryan or Brianna at topdogtrainingnc.com. We'd be happy to help you. All right. Next point. So we talked about the triangle. We talked about the timing. We talked about limiting the freedom and using crates. So the next part, major point number two, marking and rewarding the right spot. Or did you want to answer questions?
I'm happy to answer questions.
Do
you have any questions for me?
One question.
Okay.
So how do you explain to a client the role of supervision in preventing accidents?
I go back to my classic baby strategy. It's like, do you leave an 8-month-old baby like unsupervised? Most of the time not, unless they're in their crib.
Right, and unless you put proper control measures in place.
Right, I like because that. It's the same thing. If your baby's crawling around and stuff, they're going to start grabbing things that you don't want them to grab, right? And how do we teach a kid not to grab things?
You
put them in something that constrains them, right, from touching things. I know, like, when they start walking, they have those little seats, right, and they can
handcuffs
roll around.
Handcuffs was the wrong answer. Yeah
not the right one. I don't think we're supposed to do that. Or you strap them into one of those like bouncy seats, or you put them in their crib for a nap, right? Look at it like that. It's healthy. Like, puppies need way more sleep than awake time when they are young and growing and developing. And that will help them in the long run not be anxious dogs that just feel like they can never relax.
Yeah.
But if you build that in early, the dog feels way more comfortable, way more relaxed, because it knows, oh, this is the time I do nothing. I'm just going to go ahead and take a hard nap.
I like it.
And also, one more thing to add is, a lot of times we don't consider water intake when we are talking about potty training, right? You have to be watching how much water that your dog is drinking also, because some dogs will just gorge themselves with water.
Right. That's a really good point.
And if you don't know how much water they're intaking, cool. But for reference, like, generally dogs need like 1 ounce of water for each pound of body weight, right? So if you have a 10-pound puppy, they generally during the day need like 10 ounces of water. So if you need to measure that out, but don't just let your dog like free range drink water, like in your kennel or something like that, because one, they're going to dump it. Two, they're going to just drink it all because it's available.
Right. I'm laughing because I'm picturing the some previous experiences that I've had where it's like, whoa, my dog just loves to drink water right before bed.
Right.
And then they're also like talking about how they have to get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Because otherwise their dog has an accident. And you're like, well, they're kind of related.
Right,
like the two things.
Right, the French bulldog we have, she'll drink a ton of water right before bed if you don't cut her off, because she's like, I'm just going to drink it right now. But no, you can't do that. It's just not allowed. It's like,
right, you don't have the bladder for it.
Right.
But like, where's it going to go?
The kid's not drinking like a whole can of soda right before bed, or at least probably shouldn't be, because I bet they're not sleeping great. But it comes down to like...
Right, you would never let a child chug an entire, like a 20-ounce...
Right.
Like
Red Bull. Yeah. Whatever. Anything.
That's
anyway.
Not what I was thinking.
That's all I could think of right then.
Okay. Water. 20 ounces of water.
Also
They're not going to chug 20 ounces of water right before they go to bed. And you expect that they're not going to have to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And if they're not old enough in order to manage that whole process, that's for sure going to be an issue.
Yeah. But that was all I had.
All right, the Red Bull got me. I was All right. So now let's break down. Ridiculous. So marking and rewarding the right spot. So when we take the dog outside, what does that look like? Let's break that down, because inevitably the next question is like, well, how do I get my dog to actually go in the spot they're supposed to go? So here's the main topics of this, right? In order to get your dog going to the right spot, we want to designate that spot and always go to the same one, because dogs are going to do what they're patterned and learned to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we took in a pair of Frenchies that did not know, they were peeing inside and they were peeing on their own volition and their own schedules and doing their own thing. And what we found was every time we would go outside, they were so distracted smelling and chasing and moving around and doing things that they weren't concentrating on the task at hand. And so taking them to the same exact spot, take them out on a leash and just stand there. Mm-hmm. Be of all the times when we deal with clients and we're constantly telling them, you got to be more exciting. You got to be more exciting. You got to hold your dog's attention. This is the time to do the opposite.
Right. Be so boring.
This is the time for you to just be boring. Right. Be a gargoyle.
Yeah.
A tree.
Statue, tree. You know.
Tree. Yeah. Something that
I
doesn't
like
move.
Gargoyle. That was a good one.
There you go. So just stand there. Stand there. Be a statue. Yeah. And just let your dog check out from you and be like, gosh darn it, what are we going to do? That is how we get the dog to realize, oh yeah, I actually do have to pee.
Yeah.
And then go. Because remember, we're talking about puppies that don't have the muscle control and they don't have the thought process or the maturity to know their bodily processes.
Mm-hmm.
So even we
older
teach
dogs,
them.
Like we have two dogs that as soon as you let them out, they turn around and look at the door. They're like,
right.
Oh,
they're like,
where
I don't have
going?
To pee. What are we going to do? Yeah. Like throw the ball or
yeah.
something.
Play with me.
Right. Yeah.
But if you close the door and walk away from it after about 30 seconds, they're like, I'm
okay,
outside. I have to go pee.
Yeah.
I'm going to go pee.
Yeah. So we want to mark. The next thing is that when they do what they're supposed to, it's just like any other behavior that we want to encourage. Mark it, reward it. Throw a party.
Right. But don't mark it and reward it while they're still going. So
also true.
That's super important.
Don't interrupt
a lot
them.
Of people, right. A lot of people, as soon as the dog starts going, they're like, yes. But what you're doing is you're interrupting the dog's like process. And what you'll notice or may notice, not all dogs, but some dogs will stop going to the bathroom to engage with you or to get the reward because you've just marked it and you've gotten so excited. And so then you get a dog that's not expressing its bladder fully. And that in and of itself can be a really big annoyance. But I think that's my number one tip for like timing of the reward is wait until your dog finishes and then mark and reward.
Yeah,
don't interrupt
definitely.
It.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good point. So, and then, right, you crush it. That's perfect. So what would you recommend? Food rewards, praise, both, like throw a ball? What?
I mean, I'd go with whatever your dog prefers. Like, honestly, I don't think I have a preference. I mean.
So here's how I think about it though. I want to relate that praise or that reward to the event.
Right.
And so what I don't want to do is distract the dog away from that event. Right. Mm-hmm. So if I can reward with a treat, if the dog's food motivated,
right.
I want to reward as close to the one, as close to the timing of the event as possible.
Yeah.
And two, as close in proximity to the mm-hmm. event as possible.
Yeah.
So where I go with that was praise. Cool. So kneel down close to where they just peed, close to where they just pooped. Those things relate the praise and relate the reward to their action.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like taking a ball, there's some dogs that just crazy drive for a ball and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you chuck the ball across the yard, there's not always a direct understanding that the ball was related to the going potty.
I've never thought about that because, yeah, I've never used a toy as a reward, but yeah.
And I think, so it just depends on your dog.
Right. And I think traditionally people probably use praise, right? Because not a lot of people go out into their backyard for a bathroom break and have like a bag of treats on them.
I just want to cover it.
Yeah, yeah. But I think most commonly probably praise would be used with that instance.
What do you think? So, I mean, you kind of covered it. Would you say that that's the most common mistake that owners make is rewarding the potty breaks in the middle?
Yeah, because they just like they start going and owners are like, yeah, good job.
Yeah.
And I'd say probably like 7 times out of 10, the dog's going to stop going.
At least a little bit.
Yeah, because they're going to be so excited that you're
so
excited.
They're like, oh, you got food?
Oh, yeah, cool. What? Right. I did great.
Heck yeah.
But you're super interrupting that. And then you get dogs that like the most annoying potty training problem probably is like dogs not expressing their bladder all the way and then coming back in and having an accident. Yep. And then you're like,
I just went out. Right.
And you're like, well, they just went and they come back in and they do it
again.
And then
you think you're doing it wrong.
Right.
But you're not.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things we can do a little bit better, but you're not doing it wrong. You just have to adjust a little bit.
Yep.
So the last question I wrote down with that was, how do we handle dogs that get distracted outside and forget to go? I kind of handled that like right off the bat.
Yeah.
With I go out on a leash and I get super boring and I just stand there and the dog can't go anywhere. And eventually the dog gets real tired of just smelling the same 6-foot radius of grass.
Yep.
And eventually they're going to be like, all right, I got to go to the bathroom.
Right. That, and I like to start off with like go potty. It's like when you're going outside, you get to the spot. Yeah. Oh, is that what you meant?
Well,
marking?
No, not really. I guess did mean marking like as a reward, but mark the behavior that you want with a command.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big on just like go potty. Yep. Right. And then it's like, you just stand there.
And but what you don't want to do, another thing that I see a lot is you get frustrated. And so you just are like, go potty. No, go potty. Come on, go potty. Go potty. And it's like, come on.
Right. So
you're weakening that cue.
Right. You just say it once.
By
stand
saying
there.
It over and over.
And I think I'm real big on like, you give the dog like 2 to 3 minutes. And if they're not going to go, cool. Then we restart the triangle.
Perfect. That's where I was going.
Back into the kennel.
Yep.
Because you don't get freedom inside if you're not going to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
So,
So I'm not taking them in though and restarting the entire 2-hour triangle.
No, we're just going like, I don't know. It really depends on the dog, but 5 to 10 minutes, it doesn't have to be like a huge window, but it's enough for them to understand, okay, when I come back out, if I don't go potty, I'm going to have to come back in. And then you build that pattern. Cool. You don't go, you go back in the kennel. You go, you get freedom.
Yes.
And you get to have some fun.
Perfect.
And so then the dog builds its own pattern of recognition where it's like, cool, if I don't go potty, I'm going to have to go back in the kennel. So let me just go potty.
Correct.
And then I can have freedom inside.
That's exactly right.
Supervised freedom.
Very nice.
Yep.
That's the process. All right. Responding to accidents. So inevitably, we are going to have some accidents.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how beautifully perfect you time this and do this, sometimes you're going to have accidents.
Yep.
And when that happens, we've got to maintain fairness. Fairness doesn't mean that I'm going to congratulate them for peeing on the rug. We are, by definition, we are rewards-based, balanced trainers. Mm-hmm. So keeping that in mind, we are not positive only, which would kind of tie my hands into being like, great job, you peed on the rug, but let's go outside, right? And remaining very upbeat through this whole process. I think that there is some value to establishing a negative, some sort of negative stimulus to doing the wrong thing and massively encouraging and rewarding the right thing. Mm-hmm. That way, we automatically turn the dog's attention towards how they want to reinforce their behavior with those good things rather than you know, experiencing any type of negative stimuli. Mm-hmm. Where we draw the line is that we highly encourage every owner to be, one, highly ethical, and two, completely fair in how that works out. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So if caught in the act, we're going to calmly interrupt the behavior. We're going to firmly mark no, and we're going to guide the dog outside, and we're going to move him outside, and then we're going to reward and throw a party. We're not going to let our emotions dictate the entire interaction. What we're going to do is we're going to be mature, and we're going to flip our emotions from that super frustrated, I can't believe you peed on the rug, to huge party, so proud of you, we're best of friends, this is the greatest day of our lives. Once they go potty outside. Right? You can't let the behavior run your emotions.
Right. Number one question that everybody's going to have, if they just went potty inside, what if they don't go potty outside?
Then we resort back to that same timeline.
Yeah.
Right? They don't go outside. Cool. Then they come inside. They go right into their crate. 5 to 10 minutes. We go back outside.
Yep.
And then we continue until such time as we get them to go potty outside. Mm-hmm. Then we throw a party, and then we reset.
Yep.
Okay. Never punish the dog after the fact. The dog's not going to understand. The concept that you can go out for 2 or 3 hours, the dog has rein of the house, it poops on the rug, and then you come back 2 hours later and scold the dog for pooping on the rug is not a fair interaction. Mm-hmm. Because it happened, Lord knows when.
Right.
You can't assume that the dog is going to fully attribute your correction or your frustration to their act.
Right.
They may. I agree that they may. But they also may not. And anytime that I question the fairness of my correction, I'm going to err on the side with the dog.
Right. And also, it's a fact that, one, maybe they do attribute it to that. Well, you have a whole different problem, because now you're going to have to seek out the pee and poop, because they're going to hide it.
Right.
They're going to do it in places that, like, aren't as apparent if they do tie it back to that. And two, if they tie it back to that, maybe they'll go in an obvious place, but when you come home, they're going to hide from you.
Right.
They're not going to come to you for you to scold them. They're for sure going to be like, I'm going to go under this couch or under this bed or something, and I'm going to hide.
Right.
It's the number one thing, like, with people when they scold their dogs for finally recalling after they don't, like, 10 times and they've, like, run up to 12 people. Yeah. If they come back to you and you scold them, they won't do that again.
Right.
Meaning they won't come back to you again.
Yeah. There is another technique that this one came from Brendan McMillan, mm-hmm. Who's a famous celebrity trainer, does a lot of show dogs and stuff that, like, are in movies and things.
Yeah.
He recommends, right, and I've used this successfully with some dogs. My dog specifically, as Dexter is growing up, and actually as our Frenchie.
Yeah.
I had to do this one time, and she never had another accident in the house. And so what that looks like is dog pees, and you recognize, you see it happen, mm-hmm. right? This doesn't happen 20 minutes later. Dog pees, and instead of me going, grabbing her, moving her outside, scolding her, and doing all this process, I take something very, very heavy. I've got these really heavy kettlebells.
Yeah.
I take a kettlebell, and I put it right next to the pee on the floor. And I take a leash, and I tie the leash off pretty short, about 2 to 3 feet. And then I leashed her right next to the pee. Now, this was without any major verbal correction at all.
Yeah.
I just calmly grabbed her by the collar, leashed her up, put the kettlebell there, tied it off, and walked away. Mm-hmm. Now, she had enough leash to not be in the pee, mm-hmm. but she couldn't get very far away from it. That gave her an opportunity to have a consequence that was directly related to what she did. That had nothing to do with me scolding her. There was no fear involved. Yeah. There was no anything other than inconvenience involved. I left her there for about 10 minutes. She just laid down next to it. Dogs don't like to be near their own excrement. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that, I unleashed her, took her outside. She went outside, praised her, brought her in. And we went. I cleaned it up and went about our day. And we never had another issue since.
Yep.
So it can work. It can work very successfully. It's a tool for your toolbox. Mm-hmm. It's not for every dog.
Right.
But some dogs will respond really well to it. Yep. All right. The last thing that I had on... how we deal with accidents is you have to, this is non-negotiable. You have got to clean it with an enzyme-based cleaner.
Yeah.
You've got to remove and break down and remove that smell. Otherwise, the dog's going to pick up on that. They smell hundreds of thousands of times better than we do. Mm-hmm. They're going to smell it. They're going to pattern it. They're going to be like, this is where I peed last time. And they're going to continue peeing in that spot.
Yeah.
You've got to clean it, and you've got to clean it really, really well.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't have a hope.
Right. And like Fabuloso, like Lysol, none right. of those are like,
it doesn't get the smell out.
Right. It's not the right kind.
Correct. So you can clean it with Lysol for sure.
Right.
But you've got to use an enzyme cleaner to break down all of the scent
yeah.
that goes into that. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to set you up for success. Yep. All right. So, we really talked through, I had a couple of questions here, but like we really talked through most of that. What's your go-to nice. Advice? What's your go-to advice for cleaning and preventing spots? I already covered that. An enzyme yeah. cleaner. It's yep. super, super important.
Yeah.
Clean it for disinfectant.
Right.
Right. Disinfect the area. Use your Lysol. Yeah, use your Lysol. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But you also need to use an enzyme cleaner to break down mm-hmm. the actual like scent.
Yep.
Have you ever seen, here's a good one. Have you ever seen an owner's response make potty training worse? And I don't know that I've seen it, but I've heard it.
Right. Like, you over used and over to hear like the people like rubbing their dog's face in it.
Right.
And it's like, I don't even know.
Right.
Like,
why how's that working
that?
For
then
you?
Because then you have to like bathe the dog. Because then the dog smells like pee. I don't right. even understand that one. But
seems backwards.
Right. Definitely for sure. Not gonna do that.
Nope. I don't recommend that one.
Putting them in the kennel as a punishment. That's a really big one. I feel like people don't really like click together.
Really good example.
Yep.
That one we see a lot.
Right.
So never we see that one a lot with crate for other things, yeah. right? Dog is aggressive. Dog mm-hmm. Growls at something. Mm-hmm. Dog does this. Dog does that. And we like put them in the crate, slam the door. We're like, ha, yep. that'll teach you.
Yep.
What we just taught the dog was that like sometimes the crate is punishment. Mm-hmm. And that is going to shoot yourself in the foot for yep. sure.
Scolding is the like biggest one, I think. Any kind of scolding is going to just like break your trust with the dog, yep. right?
Not yelling at your dog.
Right. And it's not like going no if they're doing it right then.
But yelling
right.
at an extremely loud volume mm-hmm. is something that the dog cannot match.
Yeah.
Because the dogs aren't verbal creatures. So yelling, getting really loud noises, there are two things that science says that mammals are born with for fear, right? It's falling
yeah.
and loud noises. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two, supposedly, mm-hmm. that, right, I didn't make this, it's just in a study. Those are the only two fears that you were born with as a mammal. Mm-hmm. Every other fear is learned or patterned.
Spiders is on there.
Spiders is learned.
Yeah, no.
You were born with it.
If you're not born with that, weird.
Okay. So anyway, I don't even know how to respond to that. Falling and loud noises. But loud noises is what I'm talking about. So if we immediately increase our volume by like 10x, that you are creating an event for that dog to be very worried about, like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. How is their world imploding right now? And that can take away from the concept of what they just did, mm-hmm. and focus in on, why is my dad so loud right now?
Ooh, I thought of another one.
What's up?
Puppy pads.
Puppy pads.
Puppy pads inside.
Okay.
We can get into it real quick. Puppy pads inside don't teach your dog that it's okay to go on them. It teaches them that it's okay to go inside.
Okay. So there is one example that I have heard mm-hmm. from clients that I was like, all right, I can't argue with that.
Let me hear it.
Okay. They're on the road 270 days out of the year.
Uh-huh.
And they stay in hotel rooms.
Uh-huh.
And they don't always have access to taking the dog out.
Mm-hmm.
So they train their dog to go on puppy pads. And I'll follow that with, the dog successfully goes on puppy pads. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, that if that works for your lifestyle.
Right. I think there are some then, dogs
okay,
that are.
Okay, I gotcha.
I think there are some dogs that could probably understand that.
Mm-hmm. It's not best case scenario.
Most of the time.
For sure.
Most of the time, the dog is not going to understand the difference between going on that puppy pad and going 2 feet away on the rug.
So, and I would say there's probably a better way of explaining it, which is that typically, and I would say this is like pretty much 97% of clients, when they try to teach their dog to go on puppy pads, they inadvertently teach their dog to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's the better way of saying it, yeah. Because there are some dogs and some owners, they're like, no, I am vehemently opposed. I must have my dog mm-hmm. going on puppy pads for whatever the reason. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Train your dog to go on puppy pads. But that's not our normal owner.
Right.
And our normal owner is like, hey, I taught my dog to kind of go on the puppy pads, and they pretty much go on the puppy pads, except when they don't, and then they just pee inside.
Right.
And they're like, okay, guys, well, maybe.
Yeah.
But you have a fenced in yard.
Like, yeah.
Why are we training the dog to go on the puppy pads? Mm-hmm. There are plenty of, I don't want to go off in this like elitist mindset, which is like, no, you must do it this way. Right. We support owners making whatever decision that they want. But this is a similar concept to, the dog sleeps in the bed, but then growls at me when I try to like take their food away.
Right.
Right. Well, okay. Maybe we need to not let them sleep in the bed. But another owner is like, my dog has no behavioral issues and I let them sleep in the bed. Well, cool.
Right.
Great. Good on different. You. Right. Every dog is different.
Every dog is so different.
Where we're going with this is that puppy pads, or the concept of teaching a dog to go in puppy pads, rarely works out the way that owners want it to.
Right.
And typically owners only teach that because it's convenient while they're tiny little puppies, and eventually they want them to go outside. And that whole process sets them back. Mm-hmm. Because once you finally are like, all right, now we're done with the puppy pads, now go outside, they're like, why?
Right, I've been peeing inside.
I've been inside, yeah.
I don't want to go outside in the rain.
Exactly.
I'm going to pee in here.
Yeah, it's way better in here, guys.
Yeah, way better inside. Like, no thanks.
No reason I want to go outside.
Why would I pee on my grass?
That is the situation that usually we get the call about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't get my dog to stop peeing inside. And you're like, well, how old is your dog? And they're like, a year and a half. And you're like, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a different issue.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to highlight the actual like differences there. All right. So we will come back to our listener projects. At this point, we want to open it up for questions from any of our clients that are live on the line. I don't see any questions that are typed out there. So we will go to our Jeopardy theme here. And if you got any questions, now is the time. Going once. Going twice.
Right, I don't think we have any clients with puppies.
Right, I know.
That young either.
Right, it's going to be the random person that jumps on and is like, oh my gosh, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this after the fact and you do come up with those questions, once again, we've got Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at topdogtrainingnc.com or Brianna at topdogtrainingnc.com.
Nobody's going to get the spelling right of mine.
B-R-E-A-N-N-A. You can reach out to us on our website. You can leave us a comment on the show, or you can call the phone number 910-777-4175. Happy to talk to you about your problems related to dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Just dogs.
Just dogs. Just I can't dog really problems. Handle any Let's other problems. I have plenty of problems myself. All right. Listener projects. Project number one. The potty log. We talked. Brianna alluded to this. Oh, a log.
Copying all my stuff.
Very important. For 1 week, write down every meal, water intake, and potty break. What that's going to do is it's going to help give you clarity to what is going on here with your dog. Track the timing patterns so you know when accidents are most likely, and then use the log to anticipate and prevent those mistakes. All right. Project number two. Reward zone routine. So choose one outdoor spot for your potty breaks. Take your dog on leash to that same exact spot every single time. Mark with yes, that's the marker that we use, or your own marker, whatever it means that is like, yep, this is good. And reward immediately after they finish, not during. All right. That's all we got for today. We're going to close it out here. Thanks for tuning in. I want to encourage everybody to take the opportunity to leave us a comment, leave us a like, leave us a review. Thanks for tuning in tonight for our episode, our eighth episode. We are kind of cruising right along, and we'll just keep bringing you new episodes here week after week. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Lila, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Lila's
good to be here.
Lila's always here. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Recorded.